Hey there, hi there, ho there, kindness warriors. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Kindness Warriors podcast, a place where you and me and all of us get to come together for a short amount of time and just fizz each other up. We get to feel that little old sparkle of razzle dazzle in our day. We might laugh, we might cry, we might think a little bit harder about something we haven't really thought hard about in a while. Heck, we might just spend a bit of time together decompressing. Whatever it is today, whatever you need, I hope you get it here. And if you don't, I hope you find it somewhere else, because you know what? You damn well deserve it. Kindness warriors, let's go. Smoke something stronger than a marble cigarette. Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. How are ya? It is nice to be back recording a solo Kindness Warriors episode. The Creative Commons episodes have been blowing my heart and my brain into all these beautiful little jagged pieces that we get to put back together after every episode. It's amazing how ideas born out of feeling a little bit lonely and trying to create community and bring your friends in and just have these deep conversations can really, really put a person back together. So for all of your amazing feedback and your kind engagement with all of those conversations, your DMs, yes, all of these people are as amazing as you think they are, and then some. But today I wanted to talk about kind of this like idea of healing and coming home to yourself and how we identify and label and maybe define what home looks like, right? I've been going through in my mind this idea of a honeymoon of healing, right? Healing doesn't happen in a straight line. And just like relationships that we go through, there's always this kind of honeymoon phase, this little fizz where after you get married, you feel and you see and you notice things at like another level. Things step up. And for me, this honeymoon of healing that I'm going through has come off the back of a trip to Australia and New Zealand over the last few weeks. I'd been away from New Zealand for about 7 months, and that's the longest in 20 years that I'd been away from New Zealand. And if I'm completely honest with you, which, I mean, let's be real, we talked about my undies in the last episode, I'm always real with you. If I'm real with you and honest, I was a little bit nervous about going back. I didn't know what it was going to feel like. I didn't know if people would remember me or want to say hi. I didn't know if the streets would feel the same, if the coffee would taste as amazing as it did, if all of the treats would be as, I don't know, as sugary sweet, if the ocean would be as salty, if the air would be as clean, if the bird song would be as just piercingly beautiful. I didn't know if the familiar streets would feel familiar anymore. And I was a tiny bit terrified that, you know, leaving and going away and trying to embed yourself in a new place while going through a whole lot of change and then going back to a place where you've been for 2 decades, what if that place didn't feel like home? And then deconstructing that even more and going, oof, home. What does that feel like? Do I have one? Not sure. Good news. From the moment I checked in at LAX to fly to Auckland, my heart was soaring higher than that 777-300 we rode with Air New Zealand. It was a beautiful trip. It was a trip of deep feelings of reconnection, not only with myself, but with others, with the world around me. I went to Pete's redwood tree, and I hugged the hell out of that tree and cried and remembered all of the years of sitting near it, talking to him on the phone. And instead of this time, I talked to the sky, and I'm pretty sure I heard him answer a few times on the breeze. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And then hopping over to Australia for 5 days, huge unraveling, lots of crumbling there, lots of sitting in a moment and slowing down, and not just slowing down, but in moments where I started to feel and started to, hit the rock bottom, I think, of what the last year has been for me. Instead of staying busy, instead of moving, instead of doing, I just sat. I just stopped. There were two mornings where I stayed in Bondi. And I love Bondi. I've been going there for, 20 years. And I got up early both mornings that I was there and went to watch the sunrise. And both mornings, the sunrises, I consider myself a wordsmith. Sometimes I speak eloquently on topics that I love. I have no words. These sunrises were magnificent. They were moving in a way that I have never felt I should be moved before. And I say should here because both mornings I woke up with the intention of going and enjoying the world around me. And both mornings, the world, Mother Nature, she gave her all. And both mornings, I didn't feel a damn thing. There was no joy. There was no glimmers. You know what we talk about quite often, those glimmers of hope, the tiny things that fill you with a aha, no. Even when I'm in the mud, there's going to be a beautiful blue sky out there. I'll be able to have a shower later, clean off this mud. There was none of that. And usually for my entire life, the strategy to move past that and to see glimmers is to go find more. So I move and I go and I keep moving and I keep going and I push and I push and I push myself to find the optimism, to find the positive in a moment. And this time, I think I was sitting up on a rock overlooking Tamarama Beach. I just thought, fuck it. I'm just going to sit here and watch this beautiful sunrise and allow myself to just not feel anything. Just to not feel a damn thing. To be a little bit sad and depressed and not even sad, like just not feel it. And instead of moving, instead of distracting, I sat. And both mornings, I also, walked down to Bondi from there and again sat and watched people. Usually what I do is I like to have conversations. My mom always tells me that when I walk into a room full of people, even from the time I was a little girl, I'd walk into rooms full of people and my eyes would light up. I'd be like, yes, a room full of potential friends. But on this trip and on those 2 days, I couldn't even bring myself to say hello to other people. And it was on the day that I left that I realized for the first time in my life, I had not only slowed down, but I stopped. And in the stopping, I noticed like these true echoes of my soul. True echoes. They were faint. Let me tell you, they were faint. I thought I was feeling nothing. I thought I was hearing nothing. I was wrong. They were faint, these echoes, and I just had to tune into them. The night before I left, I was tired to my core, to my bones, to my soul. And it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I was by this beautiful beach. It was teeming with people. There was music. There was movement. And my brain said, Cass, what are you doing in your hotel room? Like, go out, go get a drink, go talk to some people, meet some locals, have dinner on the beach, watch the sunset. One part of my brain was just coming like, come on, girl, get up, go out, go do it. And the other part of my brain was like, you know what you actually need right now? You just need to sleep. And so I listened to the side that said sleep. And I think I went to sleep at about 6 o'clock that night, and I slept all the way through until 7 a.m. the next morning. And I woke up and I went and I watched a third sunrise. And let me tell you, that sunrise was better. And I can also tell you every sunrise since has just gotten better and better and better because for the first time in my life, I am not hustling through healing, right? So when I say I'm in the honeymoon of healing, I left Sydney with a whole bunch of new lessons, with a whole bunch of freedom from people, from situations, from unknowing that then had resolutions, where I was able to wish some folks adieu and welcome others in. And then I came back to New Zealand full of love and hope and glimmers. Like for the first time in a long time, wow, I felt like I was back. I felt like I'd come home to myself, finally. And the way that I think about this now is like ebb and, right? Ebb and flow. Ebb and so. Ebb and slow. Slow it down, girl. Ebb and no. Ebb and grow. And eventually I know there's going to be an ebb and glow, right? But when we back it right up and we think about the ebb and we think about the flow, one always joins the other eventually. And when we try to force one or the other is when we get stuck in it. It's when we become cyclical in nature when it comes to our feelings, the people we attach to, the ideas we align to, our own ideas of what enough means for who we are. When we don't allow ebb and flow to move concurrently, all at the same time, we don't allow ourselves to ask questions and change. Like, am I still the same person who wanted a certain kind of job, a certain kind of life, a certain kind of legacy? Am I happy? Am I growing? Am I evolving? Are the people around me allowing this, or are they trying to stop me? All of the questions, I know, sounds strange. It's a cliche too. All of the questions don't need answers, but the answers come in the moments when we least expect them. For me, the last week, like literally the last week, has been when I've started this honeymoon of healing, right? I've started this phase where I'm noticing glimmers. I'm noticing the flora and the fauna. I'm laughing. Oh my God, laughing, listening to music, dancing. Dancing when other people are around, when they're not. I don't give a fuck anymore. Like I wanted to be a little sad guy for a little while. I wanted to be a cool guy. I don't care about being a cool guy anymore. I'm going to dance when I feel happy, when the song hits, when the DJ drops the bass. The last week has been an absolute coming home to myself, but also I know that this is an up. And there will be a down, and there will be the more lessons that unfurl, the more layers we pull back, the deeper we go, the more beautiful the healing and the knowing and the growing and the glowing becomes. So what have I noticed this week in this quote unquote honeymoon of healing? Well, first and foremost, I know this seems like a pretty small basic thing, but the flowers. So spring flowers in California are nigh on like otherworldly. They're beautiful. And there are thousands of different kinds of flowers that grow out here. But I was walking on the path that I walk most days when I do my work. And I looked up for the first time since coming home here. And I spotted my favorite flowers. My favorite flowers. I don't know what they're actually called. In New Zealand, sometimes people call them goldfish flowers, but they're these beautiful, almost dark orange flowers with stamens that kind of pop out, long petals. And for the love of me and for my memory, I can't remember seeing them in California, but they're everywhere. And they must have been out and in flower for a long time now because they're everywhere. And I looked up for the first time, I saw these flowers and my whole body smiled. My whole soul smiled because I was like, wow, the last time I saw those were in Birkenhead. And I remember going, those are my favorite flowers. So then my mind started to do this thing like, are they my favorite flowers? Because my little childhood brain remembered them here in California, and then seeing them over in New Zealand for all those years made me feel more at home in a place. I don't know. But when I noticed those, then I started to notice the purple flowers. I started to notice the farewell to springs, the baby blue eyes, the poppies, the sunflowers, the daisies. Oh my goodness. It is gorgeous here. The flowers. After the flowers came the music. If you know me, you know I love music. I need music to subsist, to live, to love, to grow. Music is, it's the thing that is probably, when I say what is home, music always brings me there, wherever quote unquote there is. Music is home to me. But in the last, 5 months, listening to music has been so hard. I just can't. I haven't been able to. If you've been following my socials and you've known me for a while, you'll have seen that. You'll have seen that there's been a marked difference from sharing all of my musicians' friends' work to new songs that I find to albums that just dig right on into a soul and move it to like nothing. And this week, the music started playing again. I've started singing in random moments. I'm finding myself giddy and joyous when I listen to old songs and find new songs, tenuous attributions to people and moments and memories are falling away, and I'm able to create new ones to melodies, and it's just beautiful. I think a lot of this is built around the fact that I have done a lot of deep diving into why I feel like a lot of the time my self-worth is incumbent upon somebody else's attention, and not just a good attention or a kind, nurturing attention, but an attention that pulls away, an attention that is avoidant or angry or full of conflict. And, you know, there are so many layers to this. And I think a lot of us, maybe you too, can relate to, once we start to find our happy again, we start to really discover the root of our sad. And that's okay. That's one of the best parts about healing that I've noticed, right? One of the things that I love about slowing the F down and learning to stop over the last month or so, learning to feel nothing, is that you actually start to feel something at all times when you are grounded, physically grounded. Every day I try to put my feet in the grass to hug a tree. I actually met somebody in Auckland when I was there who said that when she gets anxious, she also likes to hug a tree. And I was like, oh yeah, I just found one of my people. We're going to be friends now. Let's go hug trees together. And also, like, how funny, because that's the cliche, right? That hippies and feelers and all of these folks who listen to the omens of the moon, man, we like to hug trees. But that, like, the tree hugger cliche has existed for decades, if not generations, if not millennia, for a reason. Obviously, we humans need that connection, that grounding to something more ancient, stronger, wiser, and alive than we are in a moment, right? I think one of the parts of grounding that I've learned to love in all my hugging trees and walking is that, like, nature doesn't hurry. It doesn't hurry. And I can't remember who it was that said it, but they said nature doesn't hurry, and yet it still gets everything done. And look at us humans out trying to hurry everything, trying to hurry the most important things in life, right? And we can't. We can't hurry everything. We can't science everything. We can't ask the universe to just come on, do this, heal me. So the grounding, nature, getting outdoors, feeling your feet in the grass, in the dirt, in the ocean is so imperative in coming home to yourself, in the ebb and flow, in the slowing down, right? In the growing up. One of the things that has helped me come into this beautiful, fuzzy honeymoon of healing as well has been talking to my friends. Like, actually talking to my friends. and giving them not just the 411, but the 911 too, like the deep dive shit that you're going through. Telling them how I've actually felt on the other side of the walls I tend to put up, especially in public, right? When I went to New Zealand, there were some articles, really beautifully well done articles on the Women's Day and the Herald. I had some time on the radio, folks like Duncan Garner, and, you know, telling my story, even just to the shallow depth that I did, because I didn't go super deep into anything too personal, still felt like I was opening up a wound, right, to a lot of people. And there was just so much beautiful feedback from the flight attendants when I got on the plane, who gave me big hugs, to people at the Pride Parade, to everything and everyone who had a nice word to say. It all helped in this movement towards the flow and the knowing and growing as we go along. But for me, having, you know, 2-3 good friends that I could just tell everything to, and to have them see me, know me, validate my experiences. And then a couple of them just got real pissed off on my behalf. That helped a lot. Like, actually allowing somebody else to get really fucking angry about the way somebody's treated you or things that have happened. I didn't realize how healing that would be, but it did feel really nice to have somebody else see me in that sense and to be like, no, I'm going to bat for you. And then doing that. Those were probably the moments in which I learned a lesson. And that being, it is important and imperative to believe the people who love you when they say they love you. It is important and imperative to believe them when they say they will protect you, and to allow that protection. It is important to believe people also when they tell you who they are, because when good people show up and they show you that time and time again, part of that goodness is that they are mutual nurturers. And, you know, the old tropes and cliches and sayings about, you know, the nurturer needs nurturing, the teacher needs to be a student, the lover needs loving, right? All of those things, when you open yourself up to friends and they show you that those are actual truths, wow, that also brings on that beautiful honeymoon phase of healing, right? So I think the next thing, and probably the last thing to leave you with on this kind of coming home to self and this healing journey, is that healing, so we overuse the word, right? It's a buzzword right now. Like, what does it mean? It means something different to me than it will mean to you, because we are all so individual. We all live in our own heads. We live in thought patterns that are stuck on repeat. What did I read a few weeks ago? That we think 80,000 thoughts a day, and like 97% of those are the same thoughts as the day before. So we get stuck in these loops and these patterns, these routines, where like toxicity becomes the norm. So when something healthy and safe comes along, that feels scary. And it's, you know, unlearning habits, it's unlearning routines, and it is getting into the grit of going, I am actually going to be okay. And here's why. I'm going to be okay on my own. I'm going to find out who I am. I'm going to do all these things, and it's not selfish. It's imperative. It's necessary to move through this world, to be a good leader, to be a good parent, to be good at your job, to be good at just being a friend. You have to know what you love. Otherwise, you will always come up against something that doesn't feel good, and you will never feel comfortable in your skin. I know for me, another unpacking from this trip was just being super honest and open about like gender and fluidity, and the way that I like to dress, and understanding that sometimes I think I have a bias against the beautiful femininity that I love in other people, and thinking, no, if I don't show up as more tomboyish and masculine, then I'm not going to feel as powerful. And then, you know, deconstructing that. Wow. See what I mean by layers? We go deeper and we go deeper and we go deeper. But I think the biggest lesson of the past year for me of, you know, losing my best friend, marriage ending, leaving my job, leaving my country, and coming to start again back home, has really been that we can't truly trust other people until we trust ourselves. Like, we can try, but until we know how to trust ourselves, it's hard to understand the depth and nuance of trust in others. So this honeymoon of healing for me is like, it's ongoing. It's that idea where I'm in my head and I'm like, come on, Cass, keep going. Keep coming back home. Keep redefining home. Keep redefining yourself, right? None of us are lost. We never have been. We just learned to forget who we are because that's what we were told to do. But I don't know, for me, and I hope for you too, now is the time to remember, right? Wherever you are right now, wherever you're standing, sitting, driving, walking, whatever you're doing, like, now is the time to remember. Like, you are not lost. We've just learned to forget who we are. So if you're in the honeymoon of your healing and you're seeing these glimmers, then yeehaw, baby. Welcome to the club. Welcome to this rodeo. Tell you what, this is like my 15th rodeo. The first 14 have taught me a whole lot. I'm excited about this one too. And I'm happy to be sitting in the knowledge that when we hit our lowest and we sit in it and we realize it's not as scary as we thought it was going to be. Yeah, it can hurt. Yeah, it can feel like nothingness, desolation, desperation. It can feel like hope on the precipice, whatever it feels like to you, that low bit. I mean, that's what Winona Judd says, right? She said, you hit rock bottom, you got two ways to go. You can go straight up or sideways. There's no further bottom than rock bottom. So for me, this honeymoon of healing is, you know, I'm heading sideways and straight up and sideways and straight up and maybe a bit back down. But I'm excited for the future. And I'm really, really excited about the longevity of becoming and being okay with asking all the questions and not knowing an answer. I see you. I hear you. And I thank you for your time, especially all y'all who reach out and have questions and want a korero after a podcast. It's not easy to go through hard shit, obviously. You see the juxtaposition of easy and hard there. And sometimes we get to a point where we feel hopeless or helpless. And if you are in that space, please, I know it's cliche. I know it's easy to say reach out, but please talk to somebody, talk to a friend, keep talking to people you trust until somebody sees you and you feel like there's going to be a honeymoon of healing for you, because there will be. There will be. I promise. As always, kindness warriors, thank you for listening. I appreciate you and your time. I'll see you again. Talk to you again soon. Cheers.
I don't want to die having lived a perfect life. Perfect is the last thing I wanna be. I'd rather wear the scars of broken truths and broken hearts than sitting around wondering about whether I might bleed. I want to get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip, skinny dip in the ocean, look, I don't give a rip. Smoke something stronger than a marble cigarette, oh. I want to just sip fiery whiskey, take one too many shots, buy something pricey with the money I ain't got. All the things that I ain't conquered. wanna live a life I regret. Tried to stop and breathe, take a look at what I'd see. I was spinning my wheels as the world kept spinning round. Just taking it day by day, getting by and away. Never making that leap with both feet on the ground. I want to get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip. Skinny dip in the ocean, look, I don't give a rip. Smoke something stronger than a marble cigarette. Oh, I want to just sip every whiskey, take one too many shots. Buy something pricey with the money I ain't got. All the things that I ain't conquered yet. I wanna live a life I regret. I might regret it all tomorrow. Get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip. Skinny dip in the ocean, like I don't give a rip. Smoke something stronger than a Marlboro cigarette. I want to just sip every whiskey, take one too many shots. Buy something pricey with the money I ain't got. See the ocean, be so much stronger than who I was before. I want you just taste fiery whiskey and maybe do that shot, do something.